بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. Alhamdulillah, 2 weeks ago we had commenced a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and last week was Ashura, so we did not have a majlis last Monday. We had a talk on Ashura. Inshallah, today with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue. But just to refreshen ourselves to the lengthy hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was reported by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, in which he mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَن نَفَّسَ عَن مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا نَفَّسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كُرْبَةً مِن كُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The first part of the hadith is that person who alleviates any disaster, calamity, difficulty from his Muslim brother, Allah Ta'ala will remove from him on the day of Qiyamah a bala, a calamity, a kurb. The word kurbatan in Arabic means a hardship, a calamity. So in the dunya, if any person removes any difficulty of his Muslim brother is struck, he's afflicted by some calamity, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward this person who became instrumental and the means of removing the difficulty from his Muslim brother. Allah ta'ala will bless this person now, that on that day when things will be so difficult, so horrifying, so scary, so frightening, Allah ta'ala will help and assist this banda of his, and Allah will remove the hardship of the day of Qiyamah from the such a person. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَىٰ مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Second part was that person who makes it easy for any debtor. Person owes him money and he makes it easy for him. We explain this in detail. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for this person now in dunya and in akhirat. Both places, dunya and akhirat. So we had discussed these few points of the hadith. Hadith continues here about 5 things that are mentioned in this hadith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had mentioned, was jawami'ul kalim. Just to refresh on ourselves again, all this was discussed, where he mentioned a few words, yet the meaning was so profound and vast as an ocean. He would just say 2 or 3 words, yet the meaning was so vast. Alfazuhu qasira wa ma'anihi kathira. Ulama write, what is meaning of jawami'ul kalim? The Rasulullah's word was all encompassing. He would say a few words and the meaning used to be so vast, encompass so many different meanings. So whoever removes any pareshani from any Muslim brother, Allah Ta'ala will give him great ajr and thawab on the day of Qiyamah, in the sense that Allah will remove from him also the difficulty of Qiyamah. And then the person who helps a person who is in debt, he owes him money, he gives him respite, gives him more time to pay. Or if he has the courage and he has that big heart, then he may even waive off the debt completely. There is great sawab for him and blessings for him in dunya and akhirat. So we had mentioned the hadith also in between, whoever is, who sees, who comes to the assistance of a needy brother of his, person, a brother of his, a Muslim brother needs something, and he assists that person, Allah Ta'ala will be in his hajat. Allah will fulfill his needs in dunya and in akhirat. So the whole essence was to show raham on the makhluq of Allah Rabbul Izzat. The demands of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, demands that we have raham on his makhluq. And the hadith was mentioned, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman. Those who are merciful, those who show mercy, compassion to the makhluq of Allah, then Rahman, Allah Ta'ala, will show mercy upon them. Rasulullah says, Irhamu man fil ard, irhamkum man fil sama. Be merciful to those in the earth, those in the world, the one in the sky, he will show mercy upon you. We also discuss the showing raham on the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala, the famous story of that woman who was a prostitute and she gave that thirsty dog water to drink, on that Allah Ta'ala gave a jannat. We mentioned Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali's soft nature that he didn't even disturb a fly that will settle on a wound on his leg. He said, just leave it. We're doing our work, let it do its work. He didn't even chase the fly away. Then of course the famous story of Shah Muhajjiz Dahlawi rahmatullahi alayhi, or another very great buzurg, where Allah Ta'ala had forgiven him all his sins just on account of a fly that had settled down on his ink pot and began drinking from that ink, and he did not ward off that fly, did not chase that fly. Allah Ta'ala granted him maghfirat. Allah Ta'ala gave him jannat, inshallah. This was the meaning of what was mentioned regarding this buzruk, that Allah Ta'ala did not even look at all the different khidmat he made. He was a great muhaddis. So much of service he did to deen. But when Allah Ta'ala forgives him, when Allah Ta'ala wants to bless a person, when Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate a person's rank, then Allah Ta'ala does not have to look at all the different khidmat he makes, so much of tilawat, and so much of hadith, and so much of lessons and dars, or so much of tabligh, or so much of tazkiyah, whatever. Allah Ta'ala looks for a little thing. Here, a fly that was drinking from the ink pot, this person felt, no, this is the rosy of this fly, let it drink its whatever it requires. So on that, Allah Ta'ala blessed this person with high rank in the akhirat. Therefore, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib mentions, khidmati khalqi ka naam hai tasawuf. We talk about tasawuf. What is tasawuf all about? The essence of tasawuf is khidmati khalq, serving mankind, the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I had discussed also with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, this was his whole life, making khidmat of the makhluq of Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah ta'ala give us also the jazba, the tawfiq, the hidayat of making khidmati khalq. We know it's very famous that ibadat se jannat milti. Make ibadat, we get jannat. And khidmat se khuda. So we make khidmat of the makhluq, then we get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we had mentioned about Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that after Allah Ta'ala had saved him from the floods, Allah Ta'ala ordered him to make clay pots, and he spent hours or days making those clay pots with his own hand. And after he had made all those clay pots, Allah Ta'ala then told him to destroy it. Say, Allah, he did all this, such effort. Allah Ta'ala said, now I'm commanding you, just as I told you to make it, now you must break it. So he broke it. Then Allah Ta'ala explained to him that you made da'wat and tabligh, mashallah, for 950 years. It's not easy. We can't make 9 days tabligh and we get tired. Imagine those brothers day and night they're making da'wat and tabligh. May Allah Ta'ala bless them. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years. After all that, when he tried desperately, he's giving them da'wat and his people running away from him. Just a handful, plus minus, they say about 83 people had accepted Iman on his hands. His own son did not accept Iman. So what did he say? رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Wallah, don't leave a single disbeliever to dwell on the surface of the earth. Destroy him. So Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to show him that all these people who you asked I must destroy, they were also my makhluq. I made them. So just as you found it so easy to make those clay pots, but difficult to break. Nothing is difficult for Allah Ta'ala, but Allah is showing him a lesson. That these are my makhluq, I have muhabbat for them. You gave up hope and you said, Ya Allah, destroy them. So the lesson is that we should have muhabbat for the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The awliya-i kiram, what is their condition, what is their halat? Different difficult conditions come upon them. People mock at them, jeer at them, make life miserable. But still, their ta'alluq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jitne awliya-i kiram, rahimahumullahu ta'ala alim ajma'in, guzre hai, un sab ka hal ye tha ki wo agar makhluk ko buri hal mein dekhte ya fisq o fujur mein aur gunah ke andar mubtala dekhte ho to, wo awliya in gunahon se to nafrat karte the. اس لئے کہ گناہوں سے نفرت کرنا واجب ہے، ان کی فسق و فجور سے، ان کے اعمال سے نفرت کرنا واجب ہے، لیکن دل میں اس آدمی سے نفرت نہیں ہوتی تھی. They would see people committing sins. Now imagine day and night they're telling the people, these awliya Allah would warn the people, advise them, teach them, guide them. Don't commit zina, don't drink alcohol, don't take drugs, don't do this, don't do that. Despite all the efforts, still people are openly committing sins. But we find that these awliya Allah will hate those sins. They could not see the sins being committed. They would not like those sins being committed. They would despise those sins because it is wajib, it is necessary to hate sins. But they would never hate the sinner. It's a very fine point. We see somebody committing a sin, we'll hate the sin and the sinner. Here these awliya Allah have such an accommodating heart, such a large heart, that they will see the sin, they will despise the sin committed. But they will never throw the person out of the heart. They will never hate the sinner. Lekin dil mein is aadmi se nafrat nahi hoti thi. Uski haqarat dil mein nahi hoti thi. They won't think low of that person. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi ka waqia. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was traveling once. He was going past a river and there was a ship and there were some youngsters there. Very rudely they were behaving. And any person that was going past, they would mock at the person. They would laugh at him. Especially if the person had kurta, beard, topi. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah was going past, so they saw him. And immediately they started taunting at him, mocking at him. They used very obscene language, vulgar language against him. Hazrat ke saath ek aur sahab the. Wood Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah had somebody as a companion. Unhone ye surat-e-haal dekhkar farmaya, ki Hazrat, aap unki haq mein baddua farmaye. So Sheikh is going and sometimes Murid is going with him very close and somebody interferes with the Sheikh and sways him. Any Murid will get angry. So this person, ya Hazrat, you make dua against them. Look what they are saying. Such things, such terrible things. Kyunki ye log itne gustakh hai. These people are so terrible. They're mocking, they're taunting, they're evil ones. One is they are involved also in sins, they were committing sins. And on top of that, they're mocking pious people. Allah walo ka madaq ura rahe. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah ne foran dua ke liye haath uthaye. Immediately he raised his hands. For my ay Allah, aapne in jawanon ko jis tarah yaha dunya mein khushi ata farmayi hai, unki aamal aise kar dijiye ki wa aakhirat mein bhi unko khushiya naseeb ho. Ya Allah, outwardly these boys are seeming to be happy. They're joking, they're jumping, they're in great merriment. Ya Allah, just as you made them happy in dunya, now give them tawfiq of doing good deeds, they'll keep them even more happy in the akhirat. What a beautiful way, and this is what you call when a person is worried about the hidayat of mankind, and he's got the worry and concern for the youth in his heart, and he'll worry, how are we going to save them? Instead of just shunning them, and labeling them, and throwing them out, he's worried about saving them. So he makes dua for him, for them. Ya Allah, just as you give them happiness, outward happiness and joy, Ya Allah, give them even more in the akhirat, how? By giving them hidayat to do good deeds. Dekhiye, unki dhaat se nafrat nahi farmai. He didn't hate these people, the persons. Isliye ki ye to mere Allah ki makhlooq hai. He thought about this. This is the makhlooq of my Allah. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki apni ummat par shafqat. Huzur Aqdas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam jo tamam dunya ke liye rahmatul alameen bana kar bheje gaye. Jab aap par kuffar ki taraf se inte barsai ja rahi thi. The enemy were throwing stones at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uhud. Aapko patthar mare ja rahe the. Aapke paav, even on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's feet, they began to pelt him with stones that his feet became swollen, started bleeding. What did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? What did he say? Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, you guide my people. They don't know, Ya Allah. They're ignorant. They do not realize the consequence of what they're doing. They're hurting their Nabi. Ya Allah, you guide them, forgive them. Ya Allah, You overlook their faults, whatever wrong they are doing to me. Zuban par ye alfaz isliye jari hue ki kuffar ki in amal se to nafrat aur bughz hai, lekin unki zaat se nafrat nahi. The Rasulullah SAW did not despise these people who were his enemy. Yes, he did not like their actions, but he did not despise the people. And therefore he made dua for them. Why? He had the muhabbat of the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. So again, as the Mufti Taqi Sahib explained, they expound, gunahgar se nafrat mat karo. Don't have hatred for the sinner. You must hate the sin, but don't despise the sinner. What happens if you start despising the sinner? You will have no place, no room for him in your heart. You will start talking evil, you will make ghibat, you will carry tales, you will cut off your relationships with him. Yes, a person is an open sinner and he is causing harm to society. Then there's a different masala regarding him. That to bring him back onto line, sometime you have to break off the relationship for his own islah and tarbiyat. But if a person is committing some sin, so we, our duty is to go and guide those people. Whilst hating the sin, you don't hate the sinner and throw him out of the masjid and throw him out of your home. No. Then he explains about little actions that we do. Little actions that we do and how Allah Ta'ala forgives. Related to the topic that's being discussed, the hadith that's being discussed. He says, ek tajir ki maghfirat ka ajeeb qissa. Ek hadith mein, ایک مرتبہ حضور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ ایک شخص اللہ تعالیٰ کی بارگاہ میں پیش ہوا. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم explain an incident of one man who had passed away, and of course now he is now meeting Allah سبحانہ وتعالی. اللہ تعالیٰ کی بارگاہ میں پیش ہونے کا مطلب یہ کہ قیامت کے روز جب حساب کتاب ہوگا تو اس وقت یہ پیش ہوگا. What نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم mentioned already what will happen on the day of قیامہ regarding this person who passed away. So Nabi Karim already told us on the day of Qiyamah, this is what will transpire, that Allah Ta'ala will ask, or his hisab kitab will be taken. Allah Ta'ala ne farishto se farmaya ki uska amal nama, dekho, look at his good deeds. Has he done any good deeds? Farishta will come back, ya Allah, we can't find anything. Everything is no good deeds we can find. No namaz hai, no roza hai, no koi aur ibadat hai, nothing. No namaz, no zakat, no hajj, no ibadat. Bas din raat tijarat karta rehta tha. Whole day and night, only business, business. Allah Ta'ala tamam bandho ke baare mein sab kuch jante hai. Allah Ta'ala knows everything about every single servant of his. So why is Allah Ta'ala telling the angels, go and check? Allah knows exactly what this person has done. لیکن دوسروں کے سامنے ظاہر کرانے کے لیے, but to show the rest of mankind who will be observing and watching. فرشتوں سے پوچھتے ہیں, ذرا اچھی طرح دیکھو, look again properly, کہ کوئی اور نیک عمل اعمال نامے میں ہے یا نہیں, in his registers, in his book of deeds, go see, is any other one small deed. So فرشتہ فرمائیں گے کہ ہاں, they'll check, say, yes, اس کا ایک نیک عمل ہے, there is one. وہ یہ ہے کہ یہ شخص اگرچہ کوئی خاص نیک عمل تو نہیں کرتا تھا, although he was not doing any good deed, لیکن تجارت کرتا تھا, he used to be occupied in his business, اور اپنے غلاموں کو تجارت کا سامان دے کر بیچتا تھا. He would send his servants with his goods and he would tell them, سامان بیچ کر اس کے پیسے لا کر دے. اس شخص نے اپنے غلاموں کو یہ تاکید کر رکھی تھی کہ جب کسی کو کوئی سامان فروخت کرو اور تم یہ دیکھو کہ وہ شخص تنگ دست اور مفلس ہے, تو اس کے ساتھ نرمی کا معاملہ کرنا. This is when you go and sell any goods, then check if that person is battling, he can't pay, is difficult for him to pay, then be a bit kind to him, be a bit soft. Don't charge him a very exorbitant price. Reduce the price for him. And if he is finding it very difficult to pay for the goods later on even, Then if you can, then even waive off the debts. So he's sending his people to go sell his goods. And he says, when you sell those goods, be soft and kind to the customers. If somebody is finding it difficult to pay that price, then reduce the price. If he becomes insolvent, then forgive him. And you see that that person is tangdast and mufris, then reduce the price. उसके साथ नरमी नरमी का मामला करना. अगर उसको उधार दिया है तो उसे उधार वसूल करने में बहुत सख्ती से काम मत लेना. शू गिव हिम ऑन क्रेडिट, डोंट बी डिफिकल्ट एंड हार्श. गिव हिम रिस्पेक्ट, गिव हिम चांस. और कभी किसी को माफ भी कर दिया करना. नाउ देन फॉरगिव देम आल्सो और वेव दोस डेट्स. चुनांची सारी उम्र तिजारत के अंदर उसका ये मामूल रहा. एंड दिस वॉज हिज कंडीशन हिज होल लाइफ. He would have goods, they would sell to the people, be very kind, they would forgive, waive of debts, reduce the price, etc., etc. Allah Ta'ala farmayenge, kacha, ye mere bandon ko maaf karta tha, to main us baat ka zyada mustahiq hu ki usko maaf karu. Allah says that this servant of mine, he would make others maaf, his clients and customers. I am Allah, I should be making him maaf. If he made my bandas maaf, then I also forgive him. I am more mustahiq, deserving to forgive him. Therefore, I have also forgiven him. Chunanche, phir farishto ko hukam denge, ki usse darguzar ka muamala karo, aur usko jannat mein bhej do. Then this person is forgiven, and he is sent to jannat. Hazrat Mufti Taqi sahab mentioned a very beautiful point. He says, ye rahmat ka muamala tha, qanun ka nahi. This wasn't a law. This was Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, that here this man, he was kind, I will also be kind. So this is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's not the law of Allah Ta'ala. Lekin ek baat yaad rakhiye ki ye upar ka muamala, ye rahmat ka muamala hai. Ye koi qanun nahi hai. Lihada, koi shakhs ye na soche. Before somebody might be sitting here and thinking, is the easy way out this man? I can be holding in my tijarat, my wepar, and care I'm doing business, okay, I'll make maaf now and then reduce prices, nothing, I don't make any ibadat, no salat, no zakat, no hajj, and I'll be forgiven. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib said, no, this is not what is meant. Lihada koi shakhs, ye na soche, ki achcha nuskha haath a gaya. It's a very nice recipe, prescription, ki namaz na paro, na roza rakho, na zakat do, na dusre faraiz anjam do, and na gunah se bacho. بس میں بھی اس طرح لوگوں کو معاف کر دیا کروں گا تو قیامت کے روز میری بھی معافی ہو جائے گی. یہ درست نہیں. اس لیے کہ یہ معاملہ رحمت کے, this is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very important point here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people differently. Some person Allah will look at his ibadat and how much of ibadat he made, Allah forgives him on that. Some person, Allah Ta'ala looks at very little, some small thing he did, like that woman who gave that dog water to drink, Allah forgave her. This person, he was kind to his clients, to his debtors, so Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So different people, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them differently. There's not a set rule for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that he has to judge every person in the same way. Allah Ta'ala can show mercy upon whoever He wishes. Allah Ta'ala, it is His prerogative that if He wants to forgive some person just because he fed an animal, it's Allah Ta'ala's right. And if Allah Ta'ala has to check on us whether we read our salat properly or not, Allah has got the right. So we have to obey Allah Ta'ala, all His instructions. And also we have to show good akhlaq and good character. Which deed of ours Allah Ta'ala is going to look at to forgive our sin, only Allah knows best. So this is what Mufti Taqi Sahib says, is it not a qanun, not a law, that Allah Ta'ala is bound by any law? No. Or jisko chahe apni rahmat ki se bakhsh de. Lekin qanun ye hai, ki faraiz ki adaigi zarur karni hai. Yes, what is the law of Allah? That every person has to complete and accomplish those things which are compulsory upon him. Gunaah se bachna zaruri hai. Person has to abstain from sin. This thing we have to do. Agar koi shakhs faraiz ki adaigi nahi karta, ya gunahon se nahi bachta, to mahas kisi ek amal ki bunyad par takiya karke baith jaye ki bas is ek amal ke zariye meri chutti ho jayegi, ye baat durust nahi hai. Isliye ki ye Allah ka qanoon nahi hai. It's not the law of Allah Ta'ala that I will just sit back and do one good deed only and all my sins will be forgiven. We don't know whom Allah will forgive. Jis shakhs ki sirf ek amal ki bunyat par bakhshish ho gayi, malum nahi usne wo amal kis jazbe ke saath kiya hoga aur uski bunyat par Allah Ta'ala ki rahmat josh mein aa gayi. That person who did that one little deed, we do not know what was his condition, what jazba, what fervor he did. What was the level of his ikhlas that Allah Ta'ala was so happy and Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So perhaps we may not have that type of fervor and ikhlas. Therefore we cannot look at incidents of this nature and just say we'll only do this one amal. No. Well, what is the lesson from here? That when we are doing business dealings, then we should apply the same thing. Not to say we don't need our other fara'id and stay away from gunas. No. With all that, then look at this good example of this person. When we're doing our business dealings, we must be compassionate, kind, and we must be able to forgive and overlook, etc. Ek bacche ka badshah ko gaali dena. Now from this he explains. He says, Hazrat Ali Ramadhu gave an example that there was a very big minister in Nawab Sahib, and his one of his ministers had given him dawat. So when he went there, it was his habit. You go to somebody's house, see little children, you pinch the cheek, so you choose the ear. It was his habit to play with little children. So he went to his minister's house. He's Nawab Sahib, he's like the king. And the minister called him. So the child of the minister was there. So this Nawab Sahib went and twisted the child's ears, just playing with him. That little kid got so upset, he began to swear the Nawab Sahib. Imagine swearing, the president comes to your house and now you start swearing. Oh, the wazir, the father, got a shock of his life. What must I do now? That this is the king Nawab Sahib and my son is behaving like this. What will be the plight of my son now? They will kill him. So quickly he drew his sword. Hazrat, whatever hukam you give me, I will slice this child's head now. The Nawab said, no, don't do that. Be careful. This child did the correct thing. What did he explain? This is what he says. He says, usne Nawab sahab ki shaan mein gussa ki hai. Nawab sahab ne roka ki nahi, choro. Ye bachcha hi to hai. He's only a kid. He's only a child. Children do these things. Baki, ye bachcha zaheel lagta hai. He says, this child looks very intelligent, very sharp. Usme itni khuddari hai, agar koi shakhs uska kaan maror de, to ye bachcha foran uske aage hatyar dalne wala nahi. He says, this child is very sharp, very intelligent. Somebody threw the weight on him. This child didn't give in. He didn't succumb. He stood his grounds. He didn't throw his weapons down. He stood his grounds. He showed that I am also strong. Kabara zaheen hai. And he was able to stand on his own feet. So I can see that this person is a very brave, very confident child. In fact, what you need to do now, every month you must give him some special stipends, special money for him. This is a gift from me. Nawab Sahib is saying, Allahu Akbar. So this child saw the Nawab Sahib and in return he's getting a gift from every month an allowance from the Nawab Sahib. So this was a story that happened. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan says, Hazrat Hakim Ummat farmate, ab tum bhi ye soch kar gali dene se wazifa jari hota hai. Don't think now I got a nice wazifa. Let me go and sway the president or tell my son, sway him and we also get monthly allowance. This will be bewakufi. At that particular time, this child, this incident was a unique one. It is a rare one. It happened. And this is how the child behaved. Nawab Sahib was also very far-sighted. And he saw that this child was brave. He was courageous. And he gave him this. That doesn't mean this thing will apply to us also. What is the point? If we find in the waqiyas, in the kitabs, that Allah Ta'ala forgave this one tajir because of that good deed he did, although he did not do other amal, it doesn't mean the same thing will apply for us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Any good deed, whatever it may be, the important sabak is, don't look down upon that good deed. No matter how minute, how trivial and small it may seem in our eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in between Hazrat the Qisab also mentioned about when a person does dealings. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, in those times, time of Sahaba, when they would purchase any item, buy some material, then they didn't have the coins and rands and notes how we have today. They would pay by means of gold or silver. And those gold and silver were not minted coins. That came afterwards. They're in the form of different sizes, different shape, different weight. So they were weighed. Those gold pieces of stone that they had, that was weighed. So that would be put on the scale, and whatever goods were purchased were placed on the other side of the scale. They would have a special person to weigh this, and he would be given some fee as well. So Rasulullah SAW, whenever he purchased anything, like some bale of material, then it is weighed, and on the other side they have put that gold, different sizes and shapes. Rasulullah SAW would say that whatever is required to be paid, pay him more. Give him more gold. Zin, weigh, wa arjih. Give him preference, give the person more. This was the muamala of Rasulullah SAW. Now, how many of us will do that today? Will you go any person's shop and he comes 100 rand, whatever you're buying, and we insist, no, you take 110 rand? Nobody will do that. But this was Huzur Aqdas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ka maamool. Imagine if the Muslim Ummah does this today. You think the non-Muslim will not be attracted to Islam? Definitely will be attracted. But if we ponder, what are we doing? We do directly opposite. We will deceive, we will cheat, we will measure and weigh wrong. We will indulge and get involved in fraud in big way. We don't have to give all the details about the containers that are stolen and all the haram things that take place. And therefore, no barakat in our life, no barakat in our properties. Monies we will get, and when we give for good causes for masjid, madrasa, and we see no noor and barakat taking place in those institutions as well, because we have contributed haram. No rahat will get, no chain, crime will increase. And big disasters will take place in the world. All because our muamala is not saf. We have indulged in exactly what Rasulullah has stopped us from. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah bless us. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah had given a wasiyat. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, most of us follow his fiqh. Imam Abu Hanifa was known Imam Azam. He would say, jab kisi ke saath bay'u shira ka muamala ho, to usko uske haq mein haq se kuch zyada hi diya karo. He says, whenever you have to give any person, then give him extra. Kam na kya karo? Don't give him less. This was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had made wasiyat to his students that this is what you should be doing. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And then as the Mufti Taqi Sahib gives another whole long hadith in between about a person who gives generously. When a person gives generously, and the other person who hoards, he's a miser. So two people we have. Two types of people. One is a person who holds back. He's kanjus. He doesn't want to spend on others. And the other person, he gives very generously, very large heart, very big heart. Angels make dua for the one who is a kanjus, a miser, who is hoarding, holding back. What is the dua they make? Allahumma a'ti mumsikan talafa. Wallah, the person who's making imsak, he's holding back. He's hoarding his money, he's amassing wealth, he's not being generous. Wallah, you destroy his wealth. وَأَعْطِ مُنْفِقًا خَلَفًا. The one who is making infaq, the one who is spending on the poor, the needy. Ya Allah, he has taken out money from his belongings, his possession. Outwardly his bank balance is going less. Wallah, you replace him. Give him a khalaf, a substitute, a badla. You reward him. You give him barakat in his wealth. Subhanallah. This is the dua of the angels. So therefore, we should have this jazba of feeding people, helping people, being kind, compassionate. So these two things were mentioned in this hadith. And the third thing mentioned, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That person who conceals a fault of his Muslim brother that he observed. He saw his Muslim brother or sister doing something wrong. So he does not go into the public and now reveal the fault of the Muslim brother or sister that he had seen. But he conceals it. So he did this, he concealed the fault of his Muslim brother. He did not expose this person. In today's time, any little thing that happens, the whole of the world is tweeted. It's on YouTube, WhatsApp, whole ummah comes to know. Perhaps now maybe in the masjid board we will see things happening. We are there to look for faults. We actually go hunting for faults of our Muslim brothers and sisters. What kind of people have we become? Where Rasulullah is saying, man satara musliman. Satara means to cover. You know we have satar? Same thing. Whoever covers the fault of his Muslim brother, satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. Allah will conceal his faults on the day of qiyamah. On the day of qiyamah, if your faults are exposed, Allah save us. You know who is seeing those faults? Who? Every single human being from the time of Adam alayhi salatu salam, right till the last ummati, every human, every jinn, every single person will be watching. Your own mother and father will be watching. You'll see, this is the sins my son committed. Your wife will be seeing. Your children and grandchildren will be seeing that. Imagine your Nabi seeing that you committed those sins. Every single person will be, imagine Allah Ta'ala conceals us on that day. What a great fadl and karam of Allah it will be. Therefore, simple prescription that we must hide and conceal the faults of our Muslim brothers and sisters. Yes, where you can go and explain to the person what you did was wrong, this is how you make Islam, then do that. But don't go and just broadcast. Everybody today, only broadcasting messages. Broadcast. Anything, must broadcast this thing. Then, if we are going to pick on the faults of our next Muslim brother, the hadith says, مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ. If you humiliate, you embarrass, you cause shame to your Muslim brother because of any sin that he committed, and then قَتَّابَ مِنْهُ, after committing that sin, that Muslim brother or sister, they made sincere tawbah to Allah Ta'ala, despite that, of course, you didn't even know that he made tawbah, but you went and you disgraced him in public. The result would be, لَمْ يَمُتْ. You who went and disgraced that Muslim brother or sister of yours, that person had committed a sin, but they made tawbah, and you went and embarrassed this person, you won't die until you do the same action and you will be humiliated. مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ قَتَّابَ مِنْهُ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَعْمَلَهُ. You will do the exact thing and you will become embarrassed in public. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making fikr and worry about ourselves. Look at our own faults. We've got so many things to make islah of ourselves. Where will we have time to worry about the next person and look for his faults and broadcast his faults? No. There's two more parts of the hadith. Inshallah, it won't take us another 5 minutes, inshallah. And this was the third one. مَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And then the hadith says, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That person who treads the path in which he seeks knowledge. He treads a path seeking knowledge, ilmi deen. سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make the path towards Jannah easy for him. So you're going out of your home, you emerge to seek knowledge, ilmi deen. So you're adopting a path to seek knowledge. Allah Ta'ala will make the path, the road to Jannah easy for you. All our mashayikh, ulama, scholars, this is what they did. They made great sacrifices. They left their homes. They went to madrasas and maktabs and darul ulooms. And they went far and wide seeking knowledge. And then they came back and they imparted this knowledge to us. For us, it became so easy that without going baqaida to any institution and going sitting and studying for so many hours and so many years, Allah Ta'ala made it so easy that they came and they compiled hadith and tafsir and fiqh and they gave us different ta'lim. So Allah Ta'ala made it very easy for us. And I find the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the very famous story of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. It was extremely hot, very hot, and he traveled from Madinah Munawwara to Syria. So many thousand kilometers. There was only desert. He goes back on a camel back. Why did he go? Because there was a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not hear directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was related to him, narrated to him via other sahaba. He wanted to hear it from a particular sahabi who heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he heard it from others who heard it from others who heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there were a few people in between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although many ahadith he heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this particular hadith, he wanted to hear it directly from that sahabi who heard it directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you undertake this very tedious journey, very far, long. And he goes there, it is midday, and that sahabi was in his home, he was resting. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala does not disturb him. He realized that Akim is the wrong time, not Munasib. He didn't knock on the door. He kept quietly, sat outside all the time. After so many hours, that person was going to come out of his home. He says, "Oh, Jabir, what are you doing here?" He says, "No, I came here because I heard you heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He says, "Yes, I did. But why didn't you tell me?" He said, "No, I came for this maqsad, this reason." So he says, "Before you do that, let me tell you another hadith." And he gives him this hadith that that person who undertakes a journey to seek knowledge, then Allah Ta'ala will make the road to Jannah easy for him. And then he tells him the hadith that he had come for. After that he tells him, "Come and join me for some meals. At least eat and go, you came so far." He says, "No, no, no. The whole maqsad, the purpose of this journey was solely to seek knowledge, ilm-e-deen. Nothing else. I don't want my sawab to be wasted." So he went back home without even having anything to eat at the sahabi's house. So this was the sincerity they had, and this was the effort they made. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib says, what we must do, when we come to the majlises and we come to programs, he says, make niyat that we are going to also acquire knowledge. Inshallah, we'll also benefit from this hadith that Allah Ta'ala will make a road towards Jannat easy for us. So easy. You see, if you go to any mufti and you're going to ask him a masla fatwa, you leave your home and you're going to his darul ifta, then make the same niyat. Ya Allah, I'm going to seek some knowledge. So when you come out of your home, you'll also get the fazilat of a talibi ilm and whatever fazilat he gets. And then the last part of the hadith, man batta'a bihi amaluhu lam yusri' bihi nasabuhu. We have a lineage, all of us. We have fathers, grandfathers, we have ancestors. This hadith says a person cannot rely and depend on his lineage and say, "My father and grandfather, this is, they came from a very high pedigree, very high, noble lineage they had. We are from such and such tribe or such and such clan or family. So even if I don't do any good deeds, then on the day of Qiyamah, I'm okay because I come from a very good family." No. مَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُ Whoever delays his amal, or whoever's good actions is delayed. In other words, he does not do good actions. He does no amal salih in his life. His lineage will not help him on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his own Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, whom he loves so much, so dearly. He calls, "O Fatima, save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. Tomorrow Qiyamah day, I can't do anything. It is your amal that you have to do in this dunya for your salvation in the akhirah. Yes, I am your father. So as a father, I will look after you in the dunya, whatever a father has to do for his daughter. But for Qiyamah, you have to worry about your own self. Anqidhi nafsak." He called his aunt Safiya, same thing. "Ya Safiya, oh my aunt, in my dunya I'm your nephew, I'll help you as a nephew, but you have to do your own amal for your salvation in the akhirat." Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his son did not accept iman. Allah says, innahu amalun ghayru salih. Detailed explanation about this ayat, tafsir. What it means, that he did no good action. He didn't have any iman. So Allah ta'ala destroyed him. He couldn't say, oh Allah, I am Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, son on the day of Qiyamah, he can't say. I'm the son of Nuh alayhi salam, your Nabi. I must get Jannat. No. Lam yusri' bihi nasabuhu. His lineage will not hasten him towards Jannah. It won't help him. It cannot push him towards Jannah. Why? Because he delayed in good action. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making amal on this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a nutshell, the whole essence of what was spoken is that Allah ta'ala se muhabbat ka taqaza bhi yeh hai. Aur Allah ta'ala se muhabbat ki lazimi shart yeh hai ki Allah ta'ala ki makhlouq se muhabbat karo. It is the demands of and the condition of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we claim we have love for Allah ta'ala, that we should have love for the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.